May the Lord help us to commence this evening by singing hymn 1055. 1055. Come ye souls by sin afflicted, bowed with fruitless sorrow down, by the broken law convicted, through the cross behold the crown. Look to Jesus, mercy flows through him alone. Hymn 1055.
Thank you. May it please Almighty God to bless the reading of his holy word to the profit of our never-dying souls. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke, and we'll read part of chapter 24. The Gospel of Luke, and reading part of chapter 24. We'll commence reading at verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, that they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opens to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish under a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things might be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. We'll leave the reading there. May God instruct us from his word. Let us now come to him in prayer. Let us all pray. Most gracious, most blessed, eternally righteous, Lord God Almighty, that one who is high and lifted up, the Holy God. Lord, we give thanks that we, as utterly unworthy sinners, by thy superabounding grace, are able to approach unto the mercy seat through the merits of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We come tonight so thankful for his finished work, thankful to know that he rose from the dead, a conqueror over sin, death, hell, and the grave. And we believe he now, in that glorious position on the throne on his Father's right hand, lives to intercede for such unworthy sinners. And we pray, gracious God, as we've gathered here tonight to worship, Lord, let it not be a mockery, but we pray, gracious God, that our hearts may be in tune to truly worship the great God, to bow down before him and acknowledge that thou art the God. Oh, Lord, we think of that amazing time on Mount Carmel all those years ago, when thou didst appear so wonderfully and consume the sacrifices of Elijah. And Lord, the people cried out, Thou art the God. Oh Lord, we pray that even tonight we may have reason and cause to recognize that thou art the Almighty God who stands amongst us, who touches our hearts, who moves our spirits, enables us to truly come and bow down before the Lord God, our Creator. And grant, gracious God, that we may be attentive to hear what God the Lord will speak to us. We pray, Lord, that tonight We may not go away without something done in our souls, something which the Holy Spirit has applied, so that we may indeed go on our way rejoicing, rejoicing in what God has done. For Lord, thou art able to do far more and exceeding abundantly than we can ask or even think. And so, gracious God, we look to thee and plead that thou would be gracious to us. Lord, we read of that wonderful account. And on that occasion, when those two who had walked that Emmaus road came back and told the disciples what had occurred, and Jesus himself came and stood in the midst. Oh Lord, we pray that even tonight we may know the wonderful effect of the glorious Saviour in our midst. Lord, do then graciously hear our cries to this end. We pray, Lord, it may not be a barren time for our souls. We pray, Lord, it may be a time of true blessing, indeed a time of eternal blessing. For Lord, we do need eternal blessings. For Lord, we are fast hastening through time, and we shall soon enter into eternity. And may we have the wonderful evidence through thy glorious work in our hearts that it is well with our soul. So Lord, we plead for these blessings. We plead for these favours. We're grateful, Lord, that in the day and age in which we live, we're still able to gather together. We're still able to come to worship. We're still able to preach the everlasting gospel. We're still able to read the word of God. Oh Lord, may we really appreciate these wonderful favours, and help us, Lord, to compare many nations of the world where such blessings are not available. And Lord, there is much persecution and much opposition. And so, Lord, we're thankful for the freedom that we still enjoy today. And we pray, Lord, this may be maintained to us as a nation down to the end of time. Lord, we're conscious we do not deserve it. We're conscious, Lord, as a nation, blessed as we've been in the past, we've turned our back upon Almighty God. We passed laws contrary to the word of God. And Lord, many blaspheme thy name. But Lord, we pray that thou would arise. For Lord, we know nothing is too hard for our God. We're thankful, Lord, for the very many accounts in the word of God which demonstrate so clearly that thou art able to do far more exceeding abundantly than we can ask or even think. And Lord, we love to see thy work appear. And we pray, Lord, if it could be thy will, even tonight, we may see thy work appear. Lord, not man's work, but Lord, thy work. And we pray therefore, Lord, that it may be so. For Lord, we recognise that we live in a dark age. We live in a day of small things. And yet, Lord, we're instructed not to despise the day of small things. And we pray, Lord, we may not come to a wrong judgment with this. For Lord, we realise that anything of thyself, any work of thyself is a great thing. And Lord, we pray we may have much opportunity to observe thy work and to realize that we still worship the Almighty God. And we pray, Lord, thou would be with us. We pray for each one, young and old, Lord, thou knowest all their needs. Lord, we know not. We come, Lord, we see the outside form. We know nothing of the heart, but Lord, thou, the Almighty God, whose all-seeing eyes penetrates We believe into the deepest recesses of our hearts, and nothing is hidden from Almighty God. And we pray therefore, Lord, thou wilt come, reveal thyself unto us, each one. Make thyself a living reality. Lord, make thyself precious to our souls, so that we may truly have good reason to proclaim thy name, to praise thy name, to honour thee for thy glorious work in our souls. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt enable us to declare what thou hast done for our souls. We pray, Lord, we may not be found silent in these things, but we pray, Lord, we may have the wonderful evidence that thou art the ever-living and true God, that thou art the God who hears and answers prayer. Lord, we read tonight of that wonderful account, and we read Jesus himself drew near and went with them. We pray that we may know the experience of Jesus himself drawing near and going with us. And Lord, we have read how they were able to recount that their heart burned within them when thou didst speak to them. And we pray that we may know the wonderful evidence of that power of the work of the Spirit in our souls, so that our heart burns within us for what thou hast done. O Lord, we seek that thou would establish us each, young and old, in the great truths of God. O Lord, deliver us from an evil heart of unbelief. We know, Lord, how our great adversary, the devil, goes about endeavouring to make us disbelieve. But Lord, may we have that true desire like that man in the scriptures who came in answer to what the Lord said, I would believe, help thou mine unbelief. And so, gracious God, we pray for the Spirit's work. We pray, Lord, thou would indeed do great things. We pray for this people. We pray for the Sunday school. Lord, we pray thou would bless the children. Bless the young people. O Lord, touch their hearts while they're young. May they be truly found seeking unto the Lord in these young years. And Lord, come and bless them indeed. Go with them. Be with parents. Grant them much wisdom, much grace, much understanding to be able to speak to their children and to direct them in the right way and set a good example. O Lord, we do pray there may be that wonderful spiritual growth in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we pray for this people. We again pray, Lord, for this village of Swavesey. Lord, many, no doubt, care nothing for the things of God, want nothing to do with the things of God. But, Lord, we know that thy Spirit is able to come upon many, men and women, boys and girls, and touch their hearts and cause them to consider their ways and cause them to seek unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Lord, may there indeed be a great burden placed upon thy people here to pray urgently and earnestly for thy great work to appear. And we would come with those words of scripture and say, let thy work appear. O Lord God, nothing is too hard for thee. And we're thankful we have a God who hears and answers prayer, a God who has done great things. We're thankful if there are those who can testify of thy great work in their souls. And we pray, Lord, it may be that in due time all may be able to testify of thy great work in their souls, remembering that great and glorious truth, those that honour me, I will honour, and those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. O Lord, we long to see thy work appearing again and again, and Lord, we seek then that would hear us to this end. Once again we come and pray for our nation. Lord, we would not forget our nation. Lord, we're part of it. We confess that we fail very often to pray for our nation. Lord, we confess we're often very self-centered. But Lord, thou hast commanded us to pray for those in authority over us. And we would do so, and we would remember to do so, and we would watch and wait for thine appearing to this end. And so we pray for our King, King Charles, that thou wilt remember him, and grant that he may remember the coronation oaths, and realise the solemnity of the things that he spoke, and we pray that his heart may be turned to serve the Lord. Likewise, we pray for the Princess of Wales. In her illness, Lord, again, thou canst cure her. And we pray that they both may be found praying unto God from their hearts with living prayers, and thou wilt cause thy work to appear in their lives. Lord, help us to pray for these things, and help us to believe. We come to a God who is able and willing to do such great things. Oh Lord, forgive our lack of prayer. Oh Lord, forgive our lack of sincerity very often. Forgive us, Lord, our mere formality. But we pray, Lord, to be blessed with living reality in the things of God. And so, Lord, we come tonight. We look to thee. Graciously come. Make one with us as we've already asked. And bless our souls. Accept our thanks for every favour and every mercy. Lord, may we never be unmindful of thy goodness and mercy which has followed us. Be with us now. Bless us, we pray. Forgive our sins. We ask it all for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn 981. Why should I yield to slavish fears? God is the same to endless years. Though clouds and darkness hide his face, he's boundless both in truth and grace. Hymn 981.
May it please Almighty God to bless our souls this evening as we meditate in his holy word. Let us turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, and we'll read verse 32. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, and reading verse 32. And they said, one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? It's worth realizing that in this chapter we read about these two who were journeying to a village called Emmaus, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. It is really a wonderful example for us still in the day and age in which we live. They had something to talk about. They were disappointed in what had occurred. And the Lord knew their disappointment, and he knew what they were speaking about. And he drew near, and he went with them. And he asked them the question, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? What a wonderful blessing it is if the Lord comes to us and asks us perhaps what we're speaking about. You know, as we travel along together in this world, it's a great blessing to be found speaking about the things of God. They were speaking about the things of God. They were acknowledging, they couldn't understand what had happened. And sometimes you and I may not understand the things that happen. But you see, God knows, and God knew. And on this wonderful occasion, we're told Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And that's a wonderful blessing. And perhaps we understand the wonderful favour when by the grace of God we are able to communicate on the things of God. And Jesus himself draws near and goes with us. You know, it's very easy, isn't it, to spend our time talking about the poor things of this world. And Solomon tells us what they are and what he found them to be, having made every effort to find happiness in this life. And his conclusion was, all is vanity of vanity and vexation of spirit. But that doesn't apply to the things of God, because the things of God are eternal. And even though we may not understand the things that we speak about, it's still good to speak about the things of God. And the Lord came to them, and came to pass that while they communed together, see, Jesus drew near and went with them. What a mercy that would be in our day and age if we often understand the wonderful blessing of Almighty God drawing near to us and giving us a right understanding of the great truths of Scripture. So often, you know, we're ignorant, especially those of you who are young. Perhaps you realize as I did when I was young. I didn't understand so many things. But what a blessing it is if Jesus himself draws me near. You know, I was wonderfully favoured when I was a young man, I suppose 20 years of age. We as a family, my father took the pastorate at Red Hill, and we moved down to Red Hill. And there was another young man who, by the grace of God, was in a very similar situation to me. And the wonder of it was that instead of spending our Saturday evenings in a worldly environment, we were able to spend our Saturday evenings together. And by the grace of God, to read the Word of God, to study the Word of God. And the blessing was that we were both ashamed and ignorant of our lack of knowledge. We were able to speak one to another. And there were those times when we experienced the reality of these words. And what happened was, Jesus himself drew near, went with us, and we could testify when that occurred. Our heart burned within us because there was that spiritual joy. You know, when the Holy Spirit gives us a spiritual understanding of the great truths of God, there is a joy. There is a rejoicing of things which we hadn't understood and were perhaps too embarrassed to ask anybody about. That situation developed, and it was a great and wonderful blessing. Well, I don't know your situation, any of you really, to this end. But it would be a great blessing if you are able to meet with like-minded seekers, those who desire to learn and to hear about the things of God and to experience this blessing of our hearts burning within us. While he talked with us, and by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures. It'll be a time of rejoicing. It'll be a time of true blessing. And these times exceed natural things, because they are eternal things. They bring with them eternal realities. It's not something which is trivial. It's weighty, and it's precious, and it's real. And your heart will rejoice. These two, on the way to Emmaus, the Lord drew near. And you see, it was wonderful, really, as we read this account, because Jesus asked their situation and they told him, we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. They realized there was something significant about the third day, but they couldn't really remember what it meant. They spoke about the women who'd given the message that they'd seen Jesus. And Jesus came, and Jesus said to them, and he addressed them like this, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. That may be true of you. It was true of me. I was a fool. I was slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. But what a great blessing it is. What a wonderful favour if that is so. And again, we need to be honest in these things. We shouldn't pretend that we understand when we don't understand. Many times, perhaps, we're too embarrassed to confess our ignorance. Well, it's good to be able to find and go along with a like-minded person that we can unburden our heart to. I'm not saying we shouldn't, of course, unburden our heart to Almighty God, which, of course, we should. But the Lord does, in his great love and providence, raise up people to be a wonderful asset and a wonderful help to us. And so Jesus said to these two, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? It was a good question. It was an important question. And if that question was put to you and me today, and especially you young people, it would be good if you could answer it with a good reason why. Not to just read a few words like this and then pass on. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And then we read, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. That must have been a most amazing sermon. They didn't get bored. They didn't want to change the subject. They were enthralled with a glorious gospel message that the Saviour was able to preach to them. Well, we know, of course, and this was the Lord himself. But it was indeed a wonderful, wonderful occasion. And what a blessing it is if Jesus himself draws near to you and me, and perhaps to two of us when we're together, and opens to us the scriptures. Beginning at Moses, going right back, you see. Remember, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. That's why it says from Moses. And what a wonderful, wonderful occasion it was. Of course, there was no New Testament in those days, but there was the Old Testament. And to think that Jesus would have picked out in the Old Testament those wonderful words of prophecy which had been fulfilled through his life, through his birth, through his life, through his death, indeed through his resurrection, through his ascension. To think how wonderfully the Lord explained to them the great truths of Scripture, and their eyes were spiritually opened. It's a great blessing when Almighty God opens our eyes to behold wondrous things out of God's law. Yes, wondrous things out of God's law. And what that produces, I'll tell you what it produces in our souls: hunger and thirst after greater knowledge. So the Lord gives us some spiritual understanding. We begin to observe how great is the wonderful plan of salvation and how it was commenced in eternity past to redeem our souls, and how it was fulfilled through the only begotten Son of God, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it's a wonderful journey. It's a wonderful truth. It's a wonderful blessing. And it would be a most great favour if still in this day and age God does this and blesses. What a mercy, isn't it, a mercy to have our heart burning within us, moved by the gracious Spirit of God. Our heart is warms to God. We rejoice in his work. We rejoice in all of it. It's not boring. It's good news from a far country. Well, I wonder tonight, if I was asked you, do you know what it is? To have your heart burning within you. Do you know what it is? Can you say humbly before God, by the grace of God, I do know. And what this has proved to me is that I am redeemed. That I am loved of my God. He's looked upon me. He hasn't passed me by. As I deserve, as we all deserve. How condescending of Almighty God. And it's wonderful, isn't it, when you and I have a right view of God. By that I mean this. His greatness, his power, and his glory. To think that he spoke the worlds into being. He created all things by speaking. They all came to pass. This is the great God who condescends to look upon unworthy sinners of the earth. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing love. Amazing grace. Amazing favour. Very humbling. Gives us great reason to rejoice in the work of God. Great reason to thank him that he hasn't cast us off as something which is worthless, but in love to our soul has revealed himself to us, and the effect has been that our heart has burned within us while he talked with us, not in a physical way, but in a spiritual way, as he's opened to us the scriptures. Again, has that occurred? Or are the scriptures still a closed book? Is the Bible just a record of historical events to you? Or is it the living Word of God? Because it is the Word of life. You see, the Word of life brings life to our dead souls. We are born spiritually dead. We need the glorious light of the gospel to shine into our hearts, to show us the wonder of what the Saviour has done. Oh, my friends, it'll make these things real. It'll make these things precious. It'll make us willing to take up our cross and follow him, realizing a wonder of this great and glorious salvation. Now you see, these two on this road to Emmaus, when Jesus was revealed to them, came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened. Again, have your eyes and my eyes been opened to see the wonderful truth? Perhaps we could say it's like this. The scripture has a very good phrase. The deep that coucheth beneath. That means there's the surface. Underneath the surface, is a great depth of glorious scripture truth which exalts the Saviour and speaks to our soul, and we can rejoice in it and we can bless God for it. And so their eyes were opened. What a mercy when God comes and opens our eyes. And you will know if that's occurred, because you're a new creature. You're a changed person. You view things differently. You realize the mercy and the grace and the love of Almighty God to such an unworthy sinner. Well, these two, you see, their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said, as we read for a text, did not our hearts burn within us while he taught with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and had a long walk. Many, many miles they'd walked. And they sat down for a brief time to partake of food and the breaking of bread. And now the Lord had gone, and we read this, and they rose up the same hour. They didn't delay. They had some good news, some glorious news, and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. You know, it's a great blessing, isn't it, if the Lord gives us that desire to lift up his name, to honour and glorify his name, to testify of what he's done. These two, they didn't sit back and say, "Well, that was interesting," just leave it there. No, it touched their hearts. You see, real religion touches our hearts. You may have a good knowledge in your head, nothing wrong with that, but real religion touches our hearts. It has an effect upon us, a blessed effect, a glorious effect. And our desire is really to honour and glorify our great God. As I was pondering these words, I came across a word in Jeremiah. Jeremiah was, of course, a servant of God. Jeremiah had a hard life. You only have to read his prophecy and you'll come to an understanding of how difficult it was. And of course he expounds it a bit more in his spiritual experience in the Lamentations. But in this 20th chapter of Jeremiah, we read of his spiritual situation. And this is what he says. "Then I said, I would not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name." That was a sad statement, wasn't it? Perhaps that picks you up, I don't know. It might be your situation. You might say, "I would not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name." But then there is a but, and there's some wonderful buts in the Word of God. "But his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." It was a word which was effectual in the life of Jeremiah. The word that Jesus spoke was effectual in those two lives on that Emmaus road. It'll be a wonderful favour if you and I are able to testify. And my friends, don't be backwards. Remember the last words which Jeremiah says, "And I could not stay." The word was like a burning fire in his soul, in his bosom. What a good thing, my friends, if that's so in our lives. And we have this, we may have said, well, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to speak anymore. I'm not going to testify of what God has done. But then his word comes into our hearts. His word was in my heart. It wasn't in his head. It would have gone through his head into his heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing. Yes, he tried to put it out. He tried to stop it. And then he tells us, and I could not stay. It would be a great blessing if we understand that word, because it demonstrates the power of God. It demonstrates how Almighty God comes and convinces us of the right way, so that we dare not but go forward. We dare not stay. Well, God knows whether you know anything of such an experience. Perhaps you've said, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to move forward. I'm not going to do what I think I should. And then there's that burning fire in your bones. And you understand the power of God. My friends, you and I may try to resist. Believe you me, you and I resist at our peril. You resist at your peril. In my life, there was a situation where I resisted. And I spent many years in a barren state. Do not resist the blessed and glorious work of the Spirit of God. Grasp it with both hands. Thank God for it, for the glorious evidence of his work in your soul. There's nothing more precious, nothing more glorious than the work of God in the soul of a poor sinner. It sets them on a rock, and that rock is Christ. And they go on their way rejoicing that Almighty God should have looked down upon them and caused them to hear his voice, caused them to do his will, caused them to obey his voice. Oh, my friends, you know what it is? What's the moving influence? I'll tell you what it is. It's love. Love. To think that the Saviour has loved you. The Saviour has borne with you. Borne with all your opposition to him. How humbling it is to realise that you and I have such a God as this, such a kind, such a merciful and gracious God. Well, it's a wonderful testimony of God's mercy and of God's love. And of course, in this account, we're told their eyes were opened and they knew him. And you see, by faith, you and I then know the Saviour. Isn't that glorious to think that we as unworthy sinners know the Saviour? And as I mentioned this morning in the Song of Solomon, when she came and confessed, this is my friend, Almighty God, our friend. We know what it is naturally, don't we, to have a friend. Someone perhaps that we can talk to and speak to. where Jesus is a friend indeed. And how wonderful it is to have that comfort and assurance that Jesus, the Almighty God, is our friend. And to think that he loved us so much that he was willing to pay the price which was on our head to deliver us from the curse. And that price was his death upon the cross at Calvary. He never turned back. Perhaps you and I have turned back. Perhaps you and I have said, we will not have this man to reign over us. Well, if you have, what a mercy if God has broken down the barriers, the things that you've erected. God hasn't erected them, but you've erected barriers to separate between you and God. What a mercy if God breaks down those barriers. And there is then that wonderful access at the throne of grace. Access in prayer, liberty, freedom. Lord Jesus gave a wonderful word when he spoke to his disciples, and it was this: if the Son shall therefore make you free, you shall be free indeed. The devil may try to entangle you, but you see, you and I can respond with these words: Christ has died, yea, rather, is risen again. There's my hope. My hope is based on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That is a good foundation. That is a sure foundation. That is a foundation that will take you to glory. And so as we think of the gracious effect that this conversation had with these two on the way to Emmaus, to think how wonderful it was, and how Jesus again came and stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. See, when Jesus comes, he brings peace. He brings peace because what does he show? He shows us the work of our redemption is finished. It's complete. That's why it's so wonderful to rejoice in those final words in the cross of our glorious Saviour, when he did the work of his Father with immense agony and pain, and he was able to declare, it is finished. Complete, nothing lacking. And there hangs our salvation, in the finished work of the Saviour. Well, my friends, what a truth that you and I can rejoice in. I hope you do, because these are great blessings and these are great favours. And let God grant us that grace to come and to set our hearts and our affections upon things above and not on things on the earth. The things on the earth are transient. They're perishing. They're passing. They'll be burnt up. The things of heaven are eternal. They're complete safety because they're in Christ. Oh, bless God for his great and glorious salvation. and then bless God that he has indeed gone to prepare a place for us. He tells us, doesn't he, in the Gospel of John, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you, unworthy sinner, to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also for eternity. It's just good sometimes to sit down and try and evaluate eternity. Well, you won't be able to, because our minds are not big enough to be able to recognize how big eternity is. Very simply, there's no end. There's no end. We never get any nearer to the end because there's no end. And that can be seen in two ways. One of glorious blessing and one of a terrible situation. Because all of us here tonight will either spend eternity in heaven with the Saviour and the whole church of God, or in hell with the devil and all his angels and all those who have never been blessed with salvation. My friends, it is forever. Forever. If you try and put time alongside it, you can't, because there's no analogy between time and eternity. But if you just try and think, if you thought, well, I've spent 1,000 years or I've spent 1,000,000 years now in eternity, it's still before you with no remission and no stopping. It goes on and on and on forever. There is no escape from that eternal hell. How necessary and important it is that you and I are favoured to enter in to the reality of God's truth and have this personal experience that we read of here. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scripture? Because then it will be eternal happiness which will never cease forever and ever and ever. And all of us here tonight, without exception, young and old, will be found in one or the other place. And oh, my friends, may it be that we are amongst those who are redeemed, those for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died in our place. He bore the punishment instead. Oh, what a scene of matchless grace. 'Tis Jesus in the sinner's place. Glory to God. Surely we can say. May our hearts rejoice then in the great plan of salvation and give God the honour and God the glory. And remember those words that I quoted from Jeremiah. True words, blessed words. He could not stay. May it be appropriate in our lives. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening, followed by a church meeting. And Mr. Pack is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Burgess is engaged to preach. And there'll be a brief meeting of the trustees after the service on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 514. 514. O what matchless condescension the eternal God displays, claiming our supreme attention to his boundless works and ways. His own glory he reveals in Gospel Days, in 514.
Thank you.
Now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Eternal Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.